This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Phil Kirpin, Director of Policy at Americans for Prosperity. We want to get his insights into some of the new terminology we're hearing and as far as possible compromises on major health care reform legislation. Phil, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure, Greg.
The big one we're hearing lately is this trigger mechanism. Apparently, it was originally conceived of by Maine Senator Olympia Snow. Some of the more moderate members in either party are potentially warm to this. Basically, what she claims is that it wouldn't call for a public option right away, but given the right or wrong set of circumstances, it would kick in down the road. What do we need to know about this?
Well, the idea here is to use the threat of a Washington-run health insurance plan as a club to beat the private health insurance industry into doing whatever it is that the politicians want them to do. So instead of just outright saying we're going to create this Washington-run plan, they're going to say, well, we'll create it under the following conditions and then use that to coerce the insurance companies into doing what they want to do. It is still a vector for the politicians to decide what ought to be covered, what ought not to be covered, what ought to be charged, what ought to be excluded, and so on. It is still a vehicle, in my view, for a Washington takeover of healthcare, and so we oppose it as we did the original proposal.
There are a couple different ways of doing this, according to those who seem to like the idea. One is that it would be on a more regional basis. Others like a more national plan. Sounds like you don't like either one, but which one do you think is more likely to gain traction up on the Hill?
Well, I think that the more they sort of water down the explicitness, the clarity of this as a Washington takeover, the better chance they have to get moderate members to vote for it, to get it through under the guise of it being something other than what it is. So, regional cooperatives are going to be much easier for people to swallow than would be a national cooperative, than would be a national explicit public option, than would be a straight-up Canadian-style takeover. These are degrees of difference, and they're sort of moving away in steps from where they originally want to be. Remember, about 85 members of the House are co-sponsors of H.R. 676, the straight-up Canadian-style, everyone goes into a government-run plan, no choice about it, plan. That is a substantial block of Democrats. They moved away from that because they can't pass it. Originally, the public option. Now, it looks like public option can't pass. They're moving away from that to even less direct methods, but they still want to end up, at the end of the day, that same place of everyone being in that Washington-run plan, and that's why they continue to stress that if there is a trigger, it will eventually be pulled, that if public option is removed, it will eventually be added back in a couple of years. The bottom line is this is about where they want to go, and where they want to go is a total Washington takeover, and we shouldn't allow steps in that direction.
Phil, if the villain in this fight, according to the majority party, is the insurance industry, why is the insurance industry, for the most part, on board with this?
Well, the insurance industry is on board because they think that their lobbying clout is such that they'll defeat the so-called public option, the government-run plan. I think that's probably correct. And they think that once that's removed, they can get a bill written in such a way that they can make a fortune on it. Because if the government increases regulations on health insurance companies, it knocks the small insurers out of business. And then they'll put a mandate in that requires everyone by law to buy insurance, which is guaranteed business for those big insurance companies. And they'll put huge subsidies in so that people up to as much as three times the poverty level will actually be buying these expensive insurance policies from the big insurance companies with taxpayer dollars. So they stand to have the entire American population as customers who are required by law to buy their products, with many of them subsidized by taxpayers. Tell me that doesn't sound like a good deal if you're them.
Well, so there's the individual mandate, then there's the employer mandate. In terms of the actual choice that will be available to consumers, the choice of saying no thank you to everyone's pretty much not available.
No, that'll be taken off the table. In fact, the new legislation that's been floated by Senator Baucus, the chairman of the Finance Committee, puts a $3,800 penalty on anyone who would dare not carry health insurance. Now, you might say, well, everyone ought to have health insurance, so that's okay. But remember that it's Washington politicians who will be defining what is acceptable as health insurance for the purposes of this legislation. So they'll get to decide, as I said, what's covered, what's excluded, what the reimbursement rates are, and so on and so forth. They can use that mandate and the subsidies as a vector for just as much control over our health care as they could have if we were in an explicit government plan. So I think they still get an awful lot of power. The only big difference is that the profits now go to these favored private companies. It's really a corrupt deal in my view.
Phil, a lot of people are saying, I guess more on the Democratic side than the Republican side, but most people say that about 80% of this legislation is on common ground. Republicans and Democrats agree on a lot of it, and it's just the rest of this, which is very significant. That is the sticking point here. Do you believe that's accurate, that for the most part, on a lot of these critical issues, everyone's on board?
Well, I hope it's not accurate, because I think that the basic approach, which is put expensive new regulations in, put mandates in, put subsidies, you know, I think that approach, with or without a public option, is a very bad approach. I think states like Massachusetts that have done it have had very bad results. Other states that have done part of it, like Vermont and New York, who have guaranteed issue and community rating, those expensive new regulations, they've destroyed their health insurance markets. They've had premiums go through the roof. They've had very bad results. I would much prefer to see something that's much more oriented towards giving real choices to patients, more power, more control over their dollars to patients, some healthcare tax reform, some healthcare medical liability lawsuit reform. I think those are the types of things we need, interstate competition. So in my view, the idea of doing one giant bill where we redesign the whole system is not the right approach. We ought to do a few of these smaller things that could make a real difference, give each the time that it needs to be properly analyzed, and be more cautious about this.
Phil, last question before we let you go. Elaborate a little bit, if you can, on the Massachusetts story, which was seen and hailed as this great bipartisan success a couple of years ago when Mitt Romney was the Republican governor, and folks like Ted Kennedy, who obviously wasn't a state lawmaker but was a big fan of what was done in Massachusetts. What's the reality there right now in terms of health care?
Well, the reality in Massachusetts right now is that the plan has been a failure. They've still got large numbers of people who can't afford health care, and now they've got to either decide to give them exemptions, which they've done in some cases, or to actually penalize them, to actually force them to pay a penalty on top of the fact that they can't afford health care, punish them with higher taxes. They've got out-of-control costs. They've got, right now, waits of up to 100 days to see a primary care physician in Massachusetts because doctors are leaving the state rather than work within that system. I don't think it's a model for the rest of the country. I don't think it's done any of the things that it was promised to do. And, you know, I like the idea of experimenting in a state before we do something nationally, but the idea is you're supposed to learn from that experiment, and if you do something in a state and it doesn't work, then you shouldn't consider it on the national level.
And the debate rolls on. Phil, thanks so much for being with us, as always.
Thanks for having me.
Phil Kirpin, Director of Policy at Americans for Prosperity. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.